Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place that's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is 13. My name is Sasha. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight's going to be a general discussion of how we're going to try to save this country. And there's so many things we need to do to save America. Two of the biggies are to stop amnesty and to defund Obamacare. But that by no means is all of it. And there are other big issues, too. This thing going on in Syria, this is all garbage. We know it is. Then we've got the National School Board they're trying to do, the Smart Grid, and foreign investments in U.S., in other words, America for sale, and the NSA spy. I mean, what has happened to the United States? When you look around and you think about what has really happened here, this is not the land of the free. I mean, is it freer than other places in the world? Maybe, but we're not free anymore. And the land of the brave? Well, you know, there's definitely a few of us out there trying to fight it. We have a very brave military, but that's being destroyed by the powers from within. We have to really look close at the enemy from within. Who is really destroying this country? And it's not Al-Qaeda. It's those like John McCain elected a public office, and with, you know, his good old friend there in the White House occupier, what these people are doing, they're the ones that are destroying this country, and we're letting them. So why are we letting them destroy this country? So there's a lot of things we need to be talking about. I want to kind of just have a general discussion. And if there's anything you want to talk about, please feel free to call in. I got the chat room open as well, so you can put some stuff out there if you want. And then we'll just kind of see what to do next. Okay, the thing, I just recently found this out in the last couple weeks, I guess. It's Senate Bill 1094. You've got to stop this. This is a national school board. Education, you know, we've talked a lot about Stop Common Core on American States and Blog Talk Radio. Common Core education is Common Core communism. You have to go out there and really take a few minutes to learn what Common Core, what they call Common Core education, really is. It's Common Core communism. And you know where the word communism comes from, right? Common property, where there's no individual. Everything is community property. Whatever you want to call it, it takes a village mentality where there's no individual. Everybody is all part of the same, and you all share the same pot, which means no individual liberties, no individual freedom, no individual right to be successful or to fail, because you will be controlled. Communism, and that's what Common Core is. And John Ellis Bush is a big one pushing it, but everybody that knows him knows he's a socialist, a communist. The Bush family has a history of communism. People don't want to say that, but that's the truth. And then you go and you look who's standing next to him, good old Rubio. Now, Rubio's coming out saying he's against Common Core, but right now we think he's just dancing around because he's trying to save his whatever, his political something. Because of how stupid and how ignorant he has been and how treasonous, I won't say ignorant, I will say treasonous, he has been with the amnesty issue. But the thing is, Common Core is the federal takeover of education. And you really have to understand what happens when the government takes over education. And this ties into something that happened a while back that, you know, I would talk to people about it and they just wouldn't get it. And public education has been so successful at dumbing down Americans. It's just unbelievable, dumbing down. To a certain degree, education has already been turned into some communist thing, but it's getting worse. But a while back when they were allowing these radio stations to all merge into one, so, you know, you don't, when you look, and listen to the radio stations across the country. Clear Channel is one of the biggies out there, and then some other one out there. When you hear these big names, you know, you have a few companies that control all of that communication. One, it destroys the small business, the entrepreneur kind of thing, the small radio stations. And by doing that, you control the message. Whenever you control the message, you control the people. Look at what media has done to us in every respect. And the reason I'll get to women talking about education at the same time. When you have just a few people controlling the message that gets delivered to the people, the brainwashing is unstoppable. You don't get to hear more than one side. You only hear the message. And, I mean, people talk about that all the time with the liberal news media today because liberal news media has been bought and paid for by political office. These people, in essence, work for public office. And that all started with Woodrow Wilson when he decided he needed to somehow manipulate the media to be on his side, to help let the media be a PR department instead of a reporting department. And that's what the media is today. It's really not much of a reporting function. Freedom of the press was supposed to guarantee that the people always had the watchdogs investigating what the government was doing and keeping an eye out on them. But now media has become, in essence, part of the government. And that's not what it's supposed to be. And that ties into this thing with the radio stations. And the same is true with the television networks. When only a few control the message is brainwashing. you're not gonna have a variety of opinions and views out there. They're going to brainwash you into whatever message they want to deliver. And that's exactly what happens when you have a federal school system. Education was supposed to be at the state level, and most states left it at the very local level. But it was never, never to be at the federal level. We should be getting rid of the Department of Education, not expanding it. And that's what we're doing now. This National School Board, oh my goodness. I mean, Common Core education was already the federal takeover of education, and now they're promoting it to the next level to say national. And you got to understand, when only a few people control the message, what do you think is going to happen to education? How is that any different than what the Chinese do when they go and teach that Americans are terrible people and freedom is awful and this and that, and the same with the Russians and this and that one. When communist society go out there and they limit what the child will learn in education. They limit what the news media will report. That's communism. And that's controlling the message. That's part of brainwashing the people. How do you control the people? You dumb them down. You brainwash them. You control their transportation. You control their food supplies. You control their health care. You control communications. These are all the key elements. And look how these are being done to us today. This is what's happening to us across the board today. Our rights in every which way are being destroyed. And you can't deny it. It is. And if people don't realize it, and John Stossel again, he did it about, are we becoming Rome? The U.S. is the U.S. Rome? Yes, what we are doing is the way the Roman Empire fell. The fall of Rome, the fall of the Roman Empire, you go and you just go through the history and you see this stuff side by side. What they did to their currency, I don't want to call it funniest, but one of the most obvious that sometimes people won't even think about is what they did with sports, how they amused the peasants. They occupied the peasants, and occupy the idiots is what I refer to it as, by getting the public engaged in some, I don't want to say irrelevant, but entertainment. And entertainment is not strictly sport, but sports media there. Where you get people in this massive obsession of rooting for some team when it's really strictly a sports event, it's activity. I mean, truth is, you could live without football. The economy would feel something if we totally eliminated football, basketball, baseball, any of the pro sports, golf, these kind of things. So it would be an economic impact. But the thing is, you could live. Try surviving without the farms and the food. Try surviving without energy, without plumbing, and without these kind of things that you really depend on pretty much every day. See what would happen if you lived for 5 years without football, and then try to take 5 years of other things and see which ones you could live without. And you can't really, I mean, we could live without electricity. Life would be very much different. It would severely go down. And I don't think your quality of life would go down that much if you didn't watch Major League Baseball. I think your quality of life could still be pretty good. It's not to say you couldn't play baseball in your own yard, but I'm talking about being so obsessed by this national sports that they take over, occupy the idiots. And it all goes back to, again, I'll go back to what I was saying, the common core, communications, controlling the mind, manipulating and occupying the peasants. And that's what they think of us as. We no longer have a government of the people where these representatives are citizens. They have elevated themselves up to a type of nobility of some sort, and they somehow think they deserve the throne, and King Obama, he's going to do what he feels like doing. And he's supported by the morons in the two houses of Congress who do the same thing. So they are not representing the people anymore. They are the dictators. We have to understand that this government has been taken over. And that is why it's so, you know, today's the 9th, so we've only got a couple of days till the 11th, which is Wednesday. Wednesday is going to be a very interesting day, because that's when they're supposed to be having, with the Muslims, we're going to have this big old march on Washington, D.C. And then they called it something else. And first it was the Muslim watch, because the Muslims have been victimized by 9/11. I mean, the rest of the Americans weren't victimized. You know, none of us have been victimized. But they were. And so they were going to have this big old to-do. But then when they realized the outrage that was being caused by calling it a Muslim Muslim March, whatever they were calling it. Then they changed the name of it of Million March on D.C. or something. But now, I mean, I'm hearing things like 2 million motorcycles. Can you imagine 2 million motorcyclists being in Washington, D.C.? I mean, I really wish I could be there. I was doing some work up in the Washington area a while back. I was up there when Obamacare was passed. I was there on that hill the whole weekend trying to make sure they knew what my opinion was. And the only N-word was Nancy. And then when they tried to twist all that around as well. But I'm telling you, if I could be in D.C. on the 11th, I would have done it. But there was just no way I was going to be able to do that. And I'm hoping that we don't have any kind of civil war breakout, because you know what? We better not worry about what's going on in Syria. We better worry about what's going on right here. Everything that's going on in this country, we don't need to be worrying about civil wars in other places. John McCain, if you want a civil war, you go over there and manage it. You seem to have forgotten what it's like to be in a war, even though you would think with your experience as a POW that you would have a little bit different appreciation. Lindsey Graham, you want to be in a war? Go. Go suit up and, you know, go get your uniform on and go over there. Get the fatigues and go over there and you fight the war. Leave us out of it. And I heard it today, and, you know, we've talked about it a lot of times on the show here about Washington. President George Washington said, let others mind, don't get into everybody else's business. Let them deal with their own. Glenn Beck said he has very, very much changed his position on our involvement in other people's affairs. Let them take care of their own stuff. It was kind of an interesting thing. But again, I'm sorry about that. I keep kind of drifting off here. But this communication, Common Core education, National School Board, they keep trying. They're doing their best to totally dictate to us, to control us, to control the message, control the movement, This is what happens when you fall. We're not going to be a free society if Americans don't do something. And like I said, maybe 9/11 is going to be some trigger. I really do look forward to what is going to happen on the hill on the 11th. I want to see 2 million motorcycles on that hill. And I'm telling you, if I had the money to do the advertising and to work with some of the bigger groups and really get something out there, it would be possibly after the Christmas break or something, in order to coordinate the time, because I would have liked to have had it happen right now, but it didn't quite happen, is to have, you know, there's 340, 350 million Americans. I want to see about 50 million Americans crammed into Washington, D.C., blocking the airports, blocking the roads, blocking that Capitol, and you know what? You're not getting back in. You may have been elected at some point, but you are dethroned, you are fired, you are evicted. We're going to invade Washington, D.C., just the masses. This has nothing to do with guns. This has nothing to do with violence. It's to say, you're not going to be allowed in. You have destroyed this country enough. We are not going to let you continue, and we're not going to give you a bunch of benefits either. Guess what? You're not going to get a pension, whether you like it or not. Why are you, as an elected public servant, entitled to some gravy train of benefits and pensions that the rest of us don't get? It's disgusting. You're not supposed to be there to be on the gravy train. You're getting all your benefits from not having to participate in Obamacare while you're trying to stick the rest of us with it. No. We need to take back this government. And the way, to me, to do it peacefully, and then, you know, and you can say this is a lot of like what we saw in Egypt, is for the masses to go into Washington, D.C., and you got to do it at your state capitals, too. But we're talking here at the federal level. Go in and totally flood Washington, D.C. Invade that town. It's like, you know what? Boehner, you're going home. You are fired. You've been as useless as whatever, and you're fired. Get out of here. And that's with every one of them. And I mean, there's a few of them there that I wouldn't want to really fire. You know, I'm really not ready to fire Rand Paul or Ted Cruz or Mike Lee or some of these guys. I'm not ready to fire them yet. We've also got Lou Barletti up there in Pennsylvania. He was the one who's really been very aggressive on immigration in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. So there's these people that, you know, I would like to see stay up there. But if I have to, my choice is, you're all going to go home. And if you have been in Congress more than, and that totally, whether that be in the Senate or in the House, wherever, combined, if you have it more than 6 years in public office in Washington, D.C., you go home. You are not allowed to run for office again. You are the problem. Give a little bit of break to some of those who have only been, this is their first term, whether it be the Senate or the House, whatever. And those could run again. Of course, Rubio would never get elected again. You can be sure of that. You know, with all the things with Rubio, he refused to have a town hall meeting and talk to his constituents about amnesty. What a coward. And that's what we have in public office. This is what we have. This is the scummy, slimeball, coward, treasonous traitors that we have in public office, most of them. I mean, to me, it's at least 90%. I really do believe it's at least 90% that are slime. They don't care anything about this country. It's all whatever they can do for themselves, and that's it. And, you know, for them to even, with everything that's going on today, and, you know, I know Rand Paul has talked about, which, just like his father, Ron Paul, getting rid of the Department of Education. There should be no federal Department of Education. Cut it. We don't need it. It should be a state responsibility. It's not in the Constitution. And now, I mean, Common Core Communism is a federal program, just like No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, these other stupid things that are nothing but race to the bottom. They all promote the federal government controlling education. And the worst thing you can do is have the federal government control education. If you want to dumb down people anymore, we've already been dumbed down enough. But the whole idea, the whole reason for the states to have control and for local communities to have control is they would control that curriculum, and you would get more knowledge credit spread out across the board. But when the federal government's going to try and say, well, here's what we need you to know. No, you don't need to. Nobody else needs to learn how to get a driver's license because you're not going to get to drive anymore. We'll give you that bike you can pedal on, that three-wheeler for some of you people, and then the two-wheelers and whatever, because we're not going to let you drive a car. You're not going to need to know how to drive a car because we're going to control you. You'll be allowed to get on that bus. You'll be allowed to get on that scam rail, but you will not have a choice to move about on your own personal transportation. We are going to control you. It's called communism. Common Core Communism. You start by indoctrinating the youth to believing that the government should tell you everything to do and the government should give you a phone and all these other stupid things about communism, brainwashing you into believing in communism. And that's where we're at right now on that. National School Board. We got to stop that. You got to flood the calls. I mean, there's so many things we have to stop and to take back this country. And that's why I ultimately say we have to invade Washington, D.C., flood it by the masses. I really hope to see some type of an invasion on 9/11. I really want to see, you know what, we're not going to put up with this crap. We're not going to put up with the Muslim extremists who are trying to kill the Christians and kill the Jews and take over this country. We're not going to put up with that either. And I hope there's a very loud message in Washington, D.C. And I do not mean by any means violence. I think when enough Americans stand up for what's right, that's all it's going to take. That's what it took for the revolution. And I think enough people are really getting ticked off enough. This Sharia thing, I think, is another piece of it that really adds to that argument. It's a government that's totally out of control. Why would Obama do this? And I mean, there's been so many times when people have said, why is he worrying about saving these people when he didn't care about the Americans in Benghazi? And that's so true. What does this tell you about this man? He cares more about these people, about the Muslim Brotherhood, than he does Americans? What does that mean? Well, I know what it means to me. I mean, I've never believed he was a Christian to begin with. It means he supports the Muslim Brotherhood. He supports the takeover and the destruction of this country. That's why there's no border security. George Bush was a communist, too. I mean, his father, One World Order, New World Order, 1992, and then him with his Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, the North American Union, and now his brother with Common Core Communism, and, of course, Grandpa out there with aiding Hitler. That was their mindset. There was something, I mentioned this on the last show, and I'm going to go ahead and mention it again. It was in Jeff Sessions' article about immigration or interview. What is loyalty a nation owes to its own citizens? And isn't that the question? And today, let's see here. Lou Bartelli, the guy from Lou Bartella, he's a representative now. He was the mayor of Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and Hazleton, Pennsylvania was the first to go out there and start really being aggressive on illegal immigration in their town, started passing the laws, and of course they're getting sued all left and right. There was a special one. I saw it on C-SPAN. I think you can see it on C-SPAN and maybe a couple other forums. Amber Riddle student forum about illegal immigration. And it was Lou, and there was the other guy. Oh, that's terrible. I can't remember the other guy. I didn't write his name down. But it was an excellent discussion about illegal immigration and his knowledge of seeing it firsthand. And, you know, and he said the system, there is no integrity to the system. The system is backwards, and it's harming the victim. The victims are the American people. At what point do the representatives actually represent the American people? Because no one's representing us now. And this nonsense about the Latinos, and he even said, you know, they try to come after him for the Latino vote routine because he is a Republican. And he said, you know, 49% of his community is Hispanic, Latinos, and he won the election by 90%. So the American Hispanics, in the sense of saying those who have a Hispanic, Latino background but are Americans, legal Americans, are very much against illegal immigration because they're the ones that are going to suffer too. There is no benefit. In fact, this forum took place on, I think it was September 3rd. It was just recent. This only happened just a couple weeks, within the last week or two, this forum. And the one guy, and I apologize, I should have written his name down earlier. You'll definitely recognize him when you see him out there. He was very involved in immigration issues in the past. He said, right now, on the legal immigration side, forget the illegal stuff, on the legal immigration side, we are allowing more people to come into this country than jobs are created every month. So if there's 200,000 jobs being created every month, so they claim, which we know there's all sorts of games going on with those numbers, we're bringing in 250,000 new immigrants every month. We're bringing in more, and now you want to put this squad of illegals in there. And the whole thing is crazy, and as he kept stressing, there is no integrity to the system. Absolutely no integrity. But if I were you, I would go out there and look it up. Embry-Riddle Student Forum for Illegal Immigration, and I'd say it was just like a week ago, and it was a very, very good discussion on the true hard facts of what illegal immigration is, who is being harmed by it. And at what point do Americans actually get somebody to represent us? And in the lawsuit, Lou Bartelli was talking about when, you know, they were being sued by the ACLU and the illegals were suing them and all this other stuff when they said they wanted to enforce the law. And I don't remember whether the law, someplace in there, illegal is illegal. We're supposed to be a country of the rule of laws. Illegal is illegal. And he said something about when it came time to actually go to court, the illegals were granted that they didn't have to show up because they were too afraid they'd get deported. And then they didn't have to show up in the courtroom. They didn't have to do something. All these different things, they were totally incognito for this whole process. And somebody else was out there fighting it, and you never face your accuser, if you will. And yet they would never let a citizen do that. So you're, once again, there's more rights to the illegals than there are to the American people. No one's representing the citizens. They're representing the illegals. And enough is enough. Oh, looks like I see Ms. Texas out there. Let's see if she's gotten into that chat room, too. Yeah. Howdy out there. And I do see another guest out in that chat room. What do you guys want to talk about? Just go ahead and let me know. Right now, I kicked off the show. If you didn't hear it, it was about Common Core Education and National School Board. And Ms. Texas, you've probably heard about that, too. Can you imagine a national school board? So we think of all the things we have to do to save this country. Save America. Stop Common Core communism education. Stop this crazy national school board. We need to get rid of the Federal Department of Education. Stop amnesty. The invasion of this country by the illegals. And they talked a lot about, and when it comes to illegal, the borders, it's not just the southern border. When are people going to understand it's not just the southern border? This is every border. And 40%, they estimate 40% of the illegals walked in the front door and never left. Nobody has a clue doing, just like the Boston bombers routine, Boston massacre stuff. And so the craziness is out there. Then we've got the Smart Grid Act. This is where the United Nations, basically, as I understand it, is putting the smart grid electricity over the whole North American Union piece, again, regionalizing us and being part of the New World Order, well, really, the United States, it ceases to exist. Our country is being taken away and destroyed right in front of us before our very eyes. And then today I was hearing a little bit about foreign investment in the U.S. And I heard the word infrastructure. I didn't hear the whole thing because I was starting to get nauseated by listening to it. But we also have to stop public-private partnerships. Public-private partnerships are the collusion of the government and the private sector, which means a government takeover of all private services kind of thing. It's what it really comes down to being. And what they're doing, most of these public-private partnerships include foreign entities. So we're selling off our highway infrastructure to foreign entities. Public-private partnerships are big in the toll road business and in the transit. Of course, not too many seem to want to get involved with scam rail systems because they lose so much money on them. But literally, these public-private partnerships, foreign investment in the U.S., why are we selling our national monuments to foreign countries like China? Why are we giving, and I shouldn't say giving, but, giving China access to take over a naval base in Long Beach, California? I mean, they're supposed to do shipping out of it, but they literally have control of the Long Beach Naval Base in California. Now, Smithfield, I was told that the Chinese company bought out Smithfields, but then I've also been told that they didn't. Last I saw in it, they had. I'm going to have to go out there and check. But this is all foreign takeover of the United States of America. The United States of America is being sold right out from under us. Anybody that cannot understand what's happening, does not want to face realities of what is happening in this country today, you know, I hope you don't have any kids because you're destroying your kids' future. Hope you don't have any grandchildren because they're not going to be free. They're going to be serfs. And you will have been the one that helped put the nail in the coffin to them. Defunding Obamacare is the other biggie. You know, it's going to be interesting, with here you have all these people going back to D.C. And, of course, all the talk is about the war in Syria. And then, why are we even going in there? And it looks like Rand Paul may be doing another filibuster, which I hope, after he did that the time before, maybe a few of them have some courage to do it with him and speak up for what's really going on. Okay, let me go ahead and get Ms. Texas in on this discussion. It's almost there. My system is so slow today.
Hi.
Hey there.
Well, of course, you're on my favorite discussion. Let's just talk about immigration. Well, the whole part of the immigration problem is it's not a problem because they're wanting to give the country over to Europe, the United Nations. So, therefore, we're opening the borders to allow these people in here without having to become citizens. Therefore, when we become a member of the world order, new world order, they're considered citizens, but not of the United States, but of the new world order.
Exactly.
Therefore, we get to support them, as we are doing now, and people don't realize what in the hell is going on.
And it's like, after everything that's been going on, you'd think people would wake up, and some have woken up, but we don't have nearly enough awake. And I tell you, this is on the same line, but not quite, with 9/11. You know, we're right around, look how close we are to 9/11 and what's going to happen on that hill.
Well, I don't know, because Obama is doing a build-up of troops. He's doing a lot of training. I've been reading about this. And everything seems to be going to come to a head in September. Do I know what's going on? No. Do I have an idea of what's going on? You better believe it. And in my head, what's going on is the Tea Party, and I may be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, you know, the Tea Party is planning a march on the White House tomorrow. And,
okay,
you know,
okay.
It can be, you can be declared a, here I go, stuttering and stammering. That just makes me so happy. You can be declared a terrorist if you gather in large numbers. That is, as long as you're not black. If you're black, of course, you're not going to be considered a terrorist. Or probably if you're an illegal immigrant, as you said, you know, they're being protected. They don't even have to come to court for fear that they're going to be sent back, which I don't understand that line of thinking, because the White House isn't going, the Justice Department isn't going to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, the Justice Department has locked the hands of the states and the government as far as when it comes to deporting or trying to do anything with the illegal immigrants. So I don't know what their damn problem is. I mean, they're covered.
They are. They really are.
But
I mean, it's everything against the citizen, the legal, honest citizen who is fed up with what this government's doing. And so, now, if you say the Tea Partiers are going to be there tomorrow, now this other
right.
big, the Muslim march was on the 11th, which is the day, 2 days away. So I don't, you know, if they try to pull something like that with the Tea Partiers of tomorrow, and then they have this other march the next day, I don't know. It's,
well, the other march, they're not going to touch with a 10-foot pole.
Well, no, but there's going to be a
special. I mean, we won't dare touch that because, you know, it just might look like we might give a damn about the United States and what is being attempted here as far as, you know, breaking our the rules of our Constitution and laws of our Constitution. And, you know, somebody somewhere might snap to what's really going on, and then Washington will have their hands full. But I think this is going
to
be a surprise attack.
Well, you know, like I said, the Tea Party piece tomorrow, I guess I probably have seen stuff out there, but I was probably blending it in with the 9/11 deal. But there's supposed to be 2 million bikers out there on 9/11 as well. So I really do think that would be an interesting combination, a bunch of bikers along with the Muslims on the hill.
Well, it's just amazing to me. It shouldn't be. I mean, I keep saying it's amazing, but, you know, anything that's like this going into Syria, this crap that Obama is pulling now, why anybody thinks that they can believe one word that is falling out of that man's mouth, I do not know.
Well, I can't. I mean, there's nothing. All you got to do is listen to Kerry. I mean, can anybody, if I can understand if you're extremely young and you never heard anything about Kerry and his own military career, him fighting the Vietnam War and whatever it was when you know, he was running for president and how they came down on him for that mess. And he acts like, we really have to do this. It's like, you used to be this anti-war person, but now because Obama wants to do this, you're in favor of it? And he truly, when I listen to him speak, which I try not to listen to too much of, I already heard too much of it, I have a very hard time believing that he believes a word he's saying.
Well, that's
like
they come out with today. He announced today there was going to be an attack. Now, I'm a female. Anybody can't tell that by my, you know, my speech. But I'm smart enough to know that you do not let the enemy know what your plans are before you do it in order to accomplish anything. I mean, he's put a sign out there saying, okay, guys, this is what we're going to do. So you go ahead and get your little crap all put up, put away, stored away where we can't get to it. And we're going to come in and we're going to drop a few bombs. And we're hopefully going to kill some Egyptians. We're not going to kill the Muslim radicals that are over there causing this problem, and who probably are the people who really, really dropped the chemical warfare, but we're going to go in there and we're going to cause damage and we're going to cause havoc to the people who were fighting this man in the first place. So, you know, this is a warning. I want to let you know what we're doing.
So make sure you put all the chemical warfare stuff. Make sure you put them in the hospitals, in the schools. You're going to store them every place that's going to be.
Well, store them all. I mean, there's some we're going to hit the airfields. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to take all of our planes off the airstrips so they won't be hurt. And we're going to let them come in here, and they just drop their little bombs, do their little thing. And we're going to sit back and laugh our happy asses off at them. Yeah, and I said that.
Well, while they take the chemical warfare stuff that they've stockpiled wherever they're doing it, and then they're going to start using it all over the place. And everything about it is stupid. And I mean, all you got to do is, okay, you've got Obama, totally incompetent president. You've got the whatever you want to call what's happened with Lindsey Graham and McCain, whatever you want to call those two. And you take Kerry out there. You just put those four stooges together right there, and does anybody feel safe? Why would anybody feel safe with what those four people are saying? I can't even imagine.
Well, the only people there are feeling safe are the people who have buried their heads in the sand, and they don't have the faintest damn idea of what's going on. For instance, the ladies that I have in group, they don't know what's going on. They don't want to know what's going on. As long as it doesn't affect their little tea party, they're happy.
Exactly. And tea party, what they're meaning a tea party is a lot different than mine.
I mean, their tea party at home, you know, their little bonko games and everything. And,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't give them a headache, and they don't have to worry about it because, you know, they've got their little dollars in a row, and they're all happy, and they're not going to be happy when they don't have any dollars because the American dollar isn't going to be worth a damn. But that's okay because they think they're still living in the America that they were raised in.
That's not there. It's not there.
No, it's not. But you know what? They don't care that it's not because it might give them a headache to have to pay attention to what's going on in their country so that they can maybe preserve it so that their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren might accidentally grow up in a country that they can relate to. But that's not going to happen.
Ignorance is not bliss. It's expensive and it's painful.
It's more painful to those of us who are fighting, to those of us that are trying to wake these people up, because they don't want to hear it. It's not their battle. According to them, it's not their battle.
Did you listen to any of Glenn Beck today?
Oh, I heard a little bit of it, and I was like you. I started getting a headache, and I'm going, oh, my God, how much dumber can this mess go? But tell me.
Well, I didn't get to listen to the whole thing because it's during the day, and I have to keep cutting in and out to go on meetings and stuff like that. But I just, you know, little by little, Glenn Beck, while he was always a conservative, I won't say anything about that, he has moved more and more towards more of that libertarian side. And I find it interesting that between two things, he continually starts to sound more and more like Ron Paul. But the other part, and he's obviously always been a big admirer of George Washington, President George Washington. So, I mean, he did a book on it and everything else. So he knows a lot about Washington. But today was the first time I heard him say, and this isn't any exact quote, but Kevin, you know, I'm more and more I'm saying, why are we over there? It's not our business. I'm really getting more and more into, like George Washington said, mind your own business. Take care of your own affairs. Leave this other alone. And that was the first time I really heard him say that much where, and, you know, that's George Washington's farewell address lays it out very, very specifically. Be good neighbors to the world routine and don't go in there getting involved in any way. You can be a neighbor, but don't go out there and be meddling with the affairs of other countries and their internal issues. It's not our job.
Well,
not to police the world.
When the Constitution says that we are not to wage war on another country unless that country is a direct threat to the United States of America.
Exactly.
Now, that's what the Constitution says. And that's why the House of Representatives holds the strings to whether or not this president can go to war. And the reason this man is asking permission to do this, it's because if he doesn't get permission and doesn't, he could be impeached over this. They finally got that pounded into his head, and that's why he's doing what he's doing.
But right now, you have Bonehead Boehner out there, and a group of them that are actually, for whatever crazy reason, aligning with him on this war thing. And there's some of those, including John Bolton, which really was a surprise to me, that he said, Ambassador Bolton, said something about he does have the right to take this action. He didn't say declare war, but he said he doesn't have the right to declare war, but he has the right to take military action. And I'm like, wait a minute. Let's talk about splitting hairs here, because he's not, what is the War's Power Act thing, I think it is, and it goes back to the core of what the Constitution is. You're not allowed to go out there and just start a war, go attack another country just because you feel like it, because you don't like what they're doing. It has to be an immediate threat to us kind of thing. So it doesn't make any sense, but there's a fair amount out there acting like it's okay for him to do this, or that he has the constitutional right. And, of course, we hear John Kerry saying that too, but what else would you expect him to say? How many of them are out there saying that he has a constitutional right? But what do you think if Rand Paul wants to filibuster?
More power to him, because it may get, that this problem we got. The problem we've got is that the news media is not going to put anything out there that might make King Obama look bad. But a filibuster is something they will not be able to ignore, because Obama wants it to be advertised in order to make him look good. So in one sense of the word, it's a very smart move.
Yep. I'm hoping that he and a few others sign up to do it. Of course, the first thing I'm thinking about when we talk about this, like, who would be the ones who would be standing there with him to do the filibuster? You can see Mike Lee and Ted Cruz, and a couple others out there, but Rubio, Rubio is one who's been on the fence about the war. He said he really doesn't disagree with going in there, except he doesn't believe there's a proper plan for it. So he voted down because he doesn't like the way it's whatever's documented at this point, whatever the doctrine is to take this action. So he doesn't like that. So that's why he voted it down, not because he wasn't willing to go into war. So that, again, shows you what Rubio is.
Well, and the other thing is, what they're telling you they're going to do is a bunch of BS. He's saying this to de-ruffle feathers. In other words, he's hoping that he can swing this crap out there. The American public's going to swallow it hook, line, and sinker, like they did all of his election promises he made. And then when he gets over there, once he's over there, they're not going to be able to get him out of there.
Exactly.
I mean, I can read this man like a book. I can't figure out why they can't. But also, Hannity said today, it wasn't Hannity, ALIPAC, this group I belong to that is fighting illegal immigration, as they put out there today, and it's very true, how your senators and the Congress stand, which ones you can see, you will now be able to see who votes what, who allows this man to go over there, who doesn't stand up for our Constitution. And when you go to the polls this next year to elect your senators, you'll know who you don't want to vote for. And the same thing with the House of Representatives. If the House of Representatives votes to let him go ahead with this, you'll know exactly. All you have to do is go look up who voted for what. You will know exactly who you no longer want to represent you as either a senator or a congressman. That's the only plus coming out of this.
Well, the saddest part about that, though, is the elections are so corrupt that you got to be constantly concerned. I'll never believe that the people of Arizona reelected John McCain.
I'm going to tell you, the people of Arizona didn't, but the illegal immigrants of Arizona did.
Well, and that goes into the same thing. We're not getting the representation of our choice. We're getting who we're fed because the elections are so corrupt in many ways. But for whatever reason, and of course that's the other part, how many illegals are going to be out there voting?
Well,
that's just the whole thing.
But we have to, in other words, if at the time going to the polls, we're going to have to believe that at least it may not do us any good, and we might lose, but at least we will know we would not have voted to elect the same fool back in office. And that's
all we've got.
That's the only hope we've got.
I haven't voted to reelect anybody in years. I'm not sure when was the last time I voted to reelect anybody.
It's like, you know, we had this discussion when this last election came up. And I didn't vote before because I believed in that. I fell for that thing where, you know, everybody says, well, it doesn't matter because your vote doesn't count anyway. Well, at least I can say I did it. My vote may not have counted, but at least in case it did, I put my 2 cents worth in.
Well, I always put my 2 cents in, too. But the fact is, if we don't do something massive on these elections to keep it where these two parties don't control who they put into office, because, I mean, look at the nutsiness of the RNC and what they're doing with the candidates. I mean, the RNC, that they're doing their best to push Rubio or Christie. And, the stupidity, if you people are going to be doing that, then either you have a massive no-show where the people just don't even participate, and then you really do have the liberal progressives taking over, or you end up being stuck with these two morons or one of them because the Republican Party doesn't stand for anything anymore. But I'm telling you, I think what happens with this amnesty and this defund Obamacare and now the war thing here, there's some really big issues out here. And if the Republicans don't show that they have any courage to do anything, don't stand for what they claim are their principles, I don't think the party's going to last. I'm really pushing more, hoping that, myself, I don't belong in any party. I'm really pushing.
I was going to say, Barry, you can't vote party anymore. I mean, they may have, that's like here in Texas, you know, we have
to. But you're only in the primary. That's the primary, but not in the general.
But I can go down, if there's two people running, and John Cornyn is one I have realized that is, and I'm pretty sure I know what he's up to, and I have come to that realization, and there's two people running, I'm not going to vote Cornyn. It might not do me any good not to vote Cornyn, but I'll definitely give that other person the benefit of the doubt whether I know him or not.
Oh yeah, vote. You're voting against Cornyn versus voting for anybody else.
Exactly.
And a lot of people do that these days. Yeah, you end up voting against somebody, and that's what happens in the two-party system where you get the idiots who voted for the Republicans because they were voting against the Democrat, even though the Republican wasn't anything but a piece of crap too.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm saying in the primary, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the primary, let's hope that there's someone else running against Cornyn. You know, and so that I don't have to vote for Cornyn. Because if there's him, I don't have a choice of who I'm going to vote for anyway. That vote's already determined.
Well, and because, you know, we know that the parties love to control the elections. But I think of here in Florida, or I'll use Florida as the example, because Florida's a closed state. You get a vote in the primary. You are restricted in the primaries. It's not open primaries. Except for, like, the local county stuff. But, you know, if the Republicans weren't quite as stupid as they are, and I'm using that as nicely as I can, I'm not
being nice.
Stupid too, so,
it's a time not to be nice. is a time to be mean.
If they would not restrict the primary, because the population of independent, no-party affiliates is growing. The same for even some of these smaller parties, the Constitution Party, of course, Libertarian Party, but these other parties, Green parties, whatever else are out there, if you opened the primary, the Republican Party would probably have a lot of voters voting in their group, but who are blocked right now because of the closed party system. So I really think that they're stupid by not really embracing the open primary, as I think they've shot themselves in the foot on that one. Just my take on it.
Well, I'd rather there be no primary. I'd rather every man for himself go out there, run on what you believe in, let the American public judge them and deem, you know, instead of doing this party thing. Because right now what we've got, we don't have two parties. We have two parties in name, but what we have is a Democratic Party and a Republican Party that is one in the same.
Well, we have a massive liberal progressive party split up as two.
Just have a massive pain in the butt bunch of people who are criminals and crooks out there running our government and trying to take our money, and they're doing a good job at it. I mean, we're paying them well for what they do.
Yeah. They get rewarded all the time. But no, I'm saying you have to have a primary, because the fact of the matter is, if you had 50 people running for president, you can't, you know, everybody would get two or three votes here and there, if you know what I'm saying. It would be thinned out. So to me, you have to have a primary, if you have an open primary, and then to me, depending on what office it is, you either have the top three or the top five individuals who go to the general, so you truly have a choice. And then you could have two Republicans if that was the case. You know, if you had open party, had open primaries, you truly could have two of the same party affiliates be on that final ballot if, in fact, they were the top winners of the primaries, if you had open primaries.
Okay, who is it like to quote all the time? And his recommendation was that there be no parties. Remember that? Because a two-party system leads to corruption, which is exactly what we've got.
Oh, yeah. Well, Washington didn't believe in any parties.
Well, I'm saying I agree with him wholeheartedly. What we need is, you have limit the number of people who can be on the ballot, limit the number of people that you will be voting on, but... And this I haven't worked all this out in my head. You're going to give me a headache today. but what you do is, Sally, I'm having a headache. What you do is you limit who's running for office. How many can be on the ballot? And they go around, they do their speeches and do their little tit for tat deal. And when it's all said and done with, you go to the poll and vote. How complicated can that get? You don't need a party. You need people telling you what they say.
You need a primary, but you don't need a party. Cool.
That's it. And you don't need you need a primary. If you've got 14 people running, you know, you say, well, the most we can have running, let's say six. We have to elect six people out of these people that are running. And I'm just dragging this out of my head because that don't even sound right when I got through saying it. And you know, say, okay, we're going to have six people, but we can only have one president. And we can only have one person for vice president. And out of these six people, this is your choice, and go to the polls and vote. Period. End of story. Go vote. And whoever wins is who you're going to live with for the next 4 years.
I think it's just so amazing when, you know, you have these primaries, and then there's all the different games that go on in the primaries. It's a whole other story. So you have these primaries, and then you get these two. The only ones you really hear about are the Democrat and the Republican. And yet when it goes to the general election – Yeah, I mean, here in Florida, it's like, okay, we've got 10 people running for president. Gosh, I only heard about two of them. Because they play all these games and they don't limit, because of, one, different parties, and then, two, those who are no party affiliates. So you end up with 11 candidates out there, and the only two you only heard about were the ones that were from the two primary parties. So, yeah.
What you heard about there was the people with all the dollars behind them.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
The ones who have, that's why they've already started going out there and making all these speeches. Obama's running our fuel bill up to hell won't have it so that he can get money. And it wouldn't surprise me if all this money he's not trying to gather together is going to be for him to run for a third time. Do not.
Well, I have heard that a couple times. Well, he thinks he's above the law. He's King Obama. He's doing his best to take over this country and make it fall. And we have a bunch of morons in the two houses of Congress that are letting him do it. And of course, 300-something million people who seem to be letting him do it, too. There's definitely a few million of us out here fighting it, but way too many sitting on the sidelines.
Well, don't ask yourself every time you hear this, we're going to the UN to ask them to let us do so-and-so.
Yeah.
Don't you ask yourself, well, why in the hell are we going to the UN? Since when do they tell us what in the hell to do?
Well, everything to do with the UN, we need to shut down that UN just as well. But, you know, there is this other piece of it, and we can talk about Sharia on this one. It's like, okay, the international, the question would be, do you need international laws? Okay.
No.
And there's the chemical warfare thing is an international law, okay, which was created, whatever, by the United Nations. So, personally, I agree. Get rid of the United Nations. It's a big waste. Which they take all our money and they never support us anyway. So, what is, outside of what's the joke about how it's made us, what do they call it? There's a joke about them being there in New York. It's just, they don't use the word whore town, but whatever. Prostitute Lane or something. For the nationals to come into the U.S. and do whatever they do and leave kind of thing. And they serve no benefit to us, so why don't we get rid of them? But in the case, if you were going to talk about chemical warfare, the international law of chemical warfare, then you go to the UN Security Council. And you know what? If the UN Security Council says, yes, this is an international issue that we all need to get engaged in, well, then you all better come to the table, not just expect the U.S. to do it all. But they don't do that.
Well, it's like this. We have been for years asking or telling Congress that we did not want to fund the United Nations anymore. For years we have been telling them, quit funding the United Nations. They are useless as a tits on a boar hog.
That's exactly it.
Because they don't do anything.
Well, they hang up against us.
They don't do anything. They make no decisions. They're a bunch of cowards. They're afraid they might step on somebody's toes. And they don't do anything. So what is the big friggin' What is the big deal? Why do we need them? We don't.
We don't. Shut them down. I guarantee you, President George Washington would have never been part of it.
No. Never, no. Because he was a smart enough man. He was a smart enough man that he could see what would be coming down the pike from it.
Yep. And I'm telling you, I sure wish we could find another George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or some of these guys, you know, because we are in such desperate need for it. Those who actually have a clue what's going on and have a sense of loyalty.
Well, that has some kahunas. We don't have anybody sitting in Washington representing us, the people that voted for him, they care nothing about anything except their own futures.
Well,
their
the
life.
Other day, I don't think you were out there listening on Thursday. Were you out there Thursday? I can't remember.
Oh, I was sick on Thursday.
Okay. Well, this was out there. I was talking about immigration sessions. This was Senator Jeff Sessions. Immigration plan bad for U.S. workers. And there were two things that he said on here that were, it's so true and it's so obvious, yet you can't get these idiots in D.C. to do anything. I'm going to read this real quick. I went over this whole article in a little bit more detail. But business groups want cheap labor, but what about loyalty to our own people? And then this other one, which is the one I really like. There is an unspoken question at the heart of the immigration debate. What is the loyalty a nation owes to its own citizens? At what point do they start representing us? Because I don't feel like anybody represents us. They represent everybody else in the world except us.
Exactly. And the only reason they are representing everyone else but us is because they want their votes. It's like I've said 100 times, I didn't know an illegal immigrant could vote in the first damn place.
Well, and that's the other part. There should be, if you cannot vote, or if you are not eligible to participate in the system, which includes corporations, because corporations don't vote, even though the Supreme Court seems to think a corporation is a human being, if you cannot vote, you cannot contribute. I don't believe anybody or entity who is not eligible to vote in these elections should not be allowed to buy the elections. And, you know, that obviously would be a big deal with various Tea Party groups and stuff like that, but the Tea Party groups or whatever you want to call it, if they want to be a source of information sharing, here's what the bills are, here's what this is, because Lord only knows there's a lot of information out there trying to keep track of it. But to actively campaign for any candidate, they cannot do it. And a lot of people would be mad at me saying that.
Well,
I mean, just put the issues out there. You say, if you think we should have the Keystone Pipeline kind of thing, here's the benefits. Here's the Keystone Pipeline, and here's the pros and cons of it. So vote for a candidate that supports it. Don't give any candidate's name. Just say it's in the best interest of our country to promote it and start being self-sufficient with our own oil. We have enough oil to take care of ourselves. We don't have to go to anybody else. So start supporting America and vote for the person who believes in this. Doesn't mean you have to go out there and say who believes in what, or that you put their name out there. Let them put their own name out there.
Well, but, you know, the thing is, I was reading a thing today, and they're right, the left is putting all this crap out there about this fracking. And what they're not telling people, fracking hasn't been around for years. I mean, this is not a new form of a new way of drilling for oil. It's been around for years.
Canada was doing a lot of it. Wasn't Canada doing a lot of it? Yeah.
Well, no, there's a company from the United States up there doing a lot of it.
Well, okay.
Canada has, you know, they're into it, and they're trying to develop, you know, their own oil fields. But the company that's doing it is from the United States.
Right.
But what what the United States is wanting to do is they're going to take this oil that's coming out of the ground, and they're going to turn around and give it to the United Nations.
Yeah. It's sick. When is somebody going to represent the American people? No one's representing us. We have no representation.
No, we have no representation because we don't have anyone sitting up there in Congress, like we said a while ago, who is out for anything but their own self. They're out for their own retirement, their own safety, their own, you know, their own families, and as long as they are secure in the fact that they're going to retire with plenty of bucks in their pocket so that they can go on their trips and go play their golf and do their thing and travel abroad. That's all they're worried about. They're not worried about us.
No, they're not. They're not. It's just everything about it. And that's why I say we have to invade Washington, D.C. And I mean invade it in the nicest, nonviolent way you can imagine, where we are all out there, we just take over, we take over that town, and we say, you guys ain't coming back. Hey, guys and gals.
Well, the best and the only way to accomplish that would be at the ballot box, but if you go in there and try to do it like you're talking about, do it. Obama has too many troops. You know, he's ready for us. He knows we've had enough of him. And he's ready
well,
for us.
But the thing is, it's not just Obama. We're talking about surrounding Congress, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I understand that. But, you know, they're ready for us.
Well, but and, you know, that's the other aspect, and you're bringing up another point. As to where we are today, where we were 5 to 10 years ago, I would never fear our own military because our own military would never turn against the American people. And right now, I'm not really sure about that because, again, they've had so many foreigners come into it, if you will, to take over. In fact, there was this one article. Let me see if I can find what it says. This is in reference to Iran. This was an email that came through about our southern border. Let me read this real quick. Let's see. Iran aggressively recruiting invisible army of Latin America converts to infiltrate U.S. through soft belly of southern border. So we've got these people coming in, but we've also got, I believe, this same group that's coming in, how many of them are being allowed to get into our own army, infiltrate our army and take over. So when we think about our military today, just like the Fort Hood routine, how many of them are truly loyal to America versus to the Muslim Brotherhood? Has our own army been seized by the Muslim Brotherhood? And do we have to fear our own government? Because at one point I was saying our own government would never shoot at, would never take action or attack the American people. We would be able to protest and they would never do anything.
And maybe... maybe this time last year I would have believed that. But with everything I have learned since then, I don't believe you can trust them. I believe you could trust your local forces. But when you get into the general military, because this is what Obama's been doing, because they can't say prayer anymore, that, you know... But he allows the Muslims to do their thing. And I say their because I can't think of a word for it. But, you know, he allows them to practice their religion. And if you call it, if you don't call it a religion, then you're lost. You do not know what you're talking about. It is a religion. They can call it law all they want to. But it's a religion. Yeah. It is the book. Their law is the book that they follow. That tells them it's okay to take a one-year-old baby as a wife.
Right. They're Sharia and the Quran. You know, they're Sharia based off the Quran, their ideology, whatever you want to call it, doctrine. What they call the rule of law. Not what we call it, that's for sure. But yeah. So I agree with you. I'm very concerned as to the loyalty of many in the military. So I don't know. When we're talking on the homeland, are we in such a way, in such a situation, where our own military would shoot upon Americans protesting, peacefully protesting?
Well, the other question I've got is, would they declare us hostile? Even though we were peacefully protesting, even though we were following the guidelines and doing it according to the law, would they call us protesters?
Or terrorists? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they don't try, if we don't have the likes of Obama and company who would try to say that we were terrorists and now they're going to take some kind of emergency, martial law, whatever kind of garbage, to shut us up.
That's
right.
I say I think there's something coming down the road. And I hope I'm wrong.
And the next couple of days I think are going to give us some sense of it.
Right.
I mean, 9/11. What is 9/11 going to be another 9/11 event? I don't know. I mean,
I don't know either, and it's scary. I mean, there was a time I would never thought that I would have to have thoughts like this about my own country and the president that we had elected and the officials that we had elected to represent us.
Yeah, it's very scary. It's very sad. And I don't know. I really just don't know. I am definitely curious. If I had the opportunity to be in Washington, D.C. on 9/11, I would be there for whatever would happen, because I believe we need to march on that Capitol to defend what this country and defend against Christians and Jews should be dead and believe in Sharia and think it's okay to kill women for whom when they've been raped and to mass gang rape them, all the other craziness that comes with that religion, unfortunately. The Islamist radicals, whatever you want to call them, extremists. So, but at the same time,
they consider people who do not believe in their way of in their religion gives them the right to cut a person's head off. I mean, or to kill them. What kind of God does that? And people have to realize this is how, and we're not talking about all Muslims. You got to get that straight now. We're not talking about all of them. But when you talk about people who follow Sharia law, then you this is where you have to get educated.
But this is what the guy, what's his name, Bill Federer, he was on the show a couple weeks back talking about what every American needs to know about the Quran.
Right.
That's where he was talking, and I hope Karen's able to get him to come back on and finish that discussion.
Yeah.
He was very much saying, the ones that are considered moderate, if you will, moderate, they're just sitting on the sidelines waiting for it to happen, because what they believe is what they believe, and they may not. You know, if you're going to invade somebody, if you're going to try and take over a country, unless you have the masses of people to come in all at one time, where here they haven't, they've slowly invaded. You're not going to go out there. You're going to have to play nice to not put yourself in harm's way and be destroyed yourself. And then once there's enough people there and once they can take over, then they will actively engage in that same behavior. So I go along with what he was saying. They might be playing moderate now, but they're not really moderate because that isn't what they truly believe. They're just waiting for the right time, and they'll do what they can to implant themselves to this other environment until they're ready to take over.
Yeah, look at those guys in New York. I mean, those kids. And that's what they do. They go out and indoctrinate people who have mental problems. I mean, that's their meat and potatoes, is grabbing hold of kids who have mental problems of their own and indoctrinating them and convincing them, you know, that hell if they die and they do all this, they can have 25 or how many is it, 30 or whatever, what is it? I'm going to say whores. Let's get over with. That's what it's all about anyway. I mean, you know, when they die and go to heaven, they will be a martyr, and therefore they can have 25 virgins. That's what it is. Of course, there's not 25 virgins walking the face of the earth anymore. But, I said that too, didn't I? Yeah, I did. But, you know, that's just the way it is. And that's what they base their life on and their willingness to blow themselves up for.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
It's definitely nothing to do with no core
religion.
American belief. And this is why, the Christianity, the Jewish faith, there's nothing. Well, everything to do with the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic faith is just anti anything that we consider to be traditionally American. That was really what the guy's point was. Yeah.
Go ahead. I saw an interview somewhere where somebody says, "What kind of a God tells you it's all right to take a 1-year-old child as a child? It's all right to commit sodomy with that child? What kind of a God teaches this?" And then, like he was telling us the other night, it wasn't a god. It was a man who was mad, who went out and developed his own religion. And you got a bunch of fools that are willing to believe in it.
And yeah, that's really how it all came about. It's like this is somebody who was mad about the others, mad about the if you want to say it, the power, the what Jesus brought, what the way he brought his faith to people, and they resented anybody like that, and so then they came up with their own anti-Christ religion, if you will. And then I went out there and started selling that, and those that were following it and those that follow it today, and the Muslim Brotherhood / Islam, whatever you want to call it, because they do not believe in the rights of the individual.
No. It's all about them.
Mm-hmm.
All about
them.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm scratching my head. I haven't found that reverse the psychology, and I'm getting goofy now. Reverse the psychology, and I haven't found a man out there I'd be willing to kill myself over in order to have 25 virgin men. I mean, have you?
No.
I mean,
no.
I can't. This logic just, I can't figure it out.
No, it's too bizarre to me for what America and what our core beliefs are, moral society. We just don't believe the same way. We don't believe in hacking people's heads off and everything else. Now, at the same time, we do definitely have murders going on and things like that out there. I'm not going to go and act like Americans don't do some evil deeds out there, but it's not to the extreme, and it's not a matter of saying, all the Christians die. Hey, sorry, we're going to kill all the Christians.
Well, and we don't go out there and say, well, you don't believe in the Jesus we believe in. You don't make the sign of the cross when you go into the church, so we're going to chop your damn head off. You know, you don't believe like we do. That's not the God we know.
Exactly. It's not, and nothing to do with what we believe in. But you have these people being implanted throughout this country. And what I started to say earlier, too, it's like, 9/11, there may be one thing going on in Washington, D.C., but who's to say there's not going to be a lot of pressure cookers scattered all across this countryside in other major cities?
Exactly.
I think people are just naive to think it's not going to happen. So I don't know.
I agree with you 100% because there's something up. I mean, that's just all there is to it. If there wasn't something up, why would Obama be gathering? And we have Russians, we have Chinese, we have all kinds of people in this country training.
Yeah.
They're up north. We don't see them down south, and I imagine the reason they're keeping them hid down south because they know that crap don't fly down south. But I'm hearing more and more from people up north that in some of these cities they drive through, they're like war zones.
They are.
So that's
getting
that's
so bad.
There's something up. Don't know what it is, but there's something going on.
I totally agree with it. And let's see, what was the other thing? We've got something was just put out there today, stopping the NSA spying. Apparently they're catching more people on lies about what they're doing on the NSA spying. Apparently Obama had some other deal out there where he had had actually gone after and gotten some kind of authorization to spy on Americans emails or reading through it or something, and it was a total contradiction to what they testified on, whoever was testifying in front of Congress. So you got that going on. I'm going down the list of things we have to stop around here, and it's just, it's the list
long.
Yeah, it is. You've heard about this National School Board, right?
I got a piece of that a while ago, not all of it. Tell me about that one.
Well, I'm just getting really up to speed on it, too. But it's like, here we go. Now, this is going to be their way to implant Common Core out there. We already have a federal Department of Education, which needs to go away. But now they're going to try and have a national school board. And it's, you know, it's all a brainwashing tactic to say, well, you know, you've got your county school board and you've got your state stuff. And now we're going to bring this all together under one big happy roof of the national government. It's like, no. That's the last thing. That's just another way to force the Common Core. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it wasn't John Ellis Bush who came up with this stupid National School Board idea to try and brainwash people, to try and make it sound more palatable, if you will. But this would be the way they'd go get Common Core out there nationwide, this National School Board. And it's like, no, and try to get people to understand you got to stop this crap, too. So you got Stop Common Core, Common Core's communism, Stop the National School Board, Stop Amnesty, Stop the Smart Grid Advancement Act, which is that North American Union, for them to control electricity to all of us, ration it to us, Stop the Public-Private Partnerships, Foreign Investments in U.S. Like I said, I started to listen to this with the House floor today. And I saw and I heard something about foreign investments and infrastructure, and I said, I can't listen to this right now. But again, that's America for sale. Defunding Obamacare. And I'm telling you, if these Republicans don't show that they got a backbone, show they got a pair or whatever, the Libertarian Party, and I keep really pushing, while I'm not into the parties, you know that how that goes. I also know the parties aren't going to all evaporate between now and 2010 and even 2016. I really want to see the true conservatives running out there as libertarians. Let the Libertarian Party replace the Republican Party because it's about as useless. So defunding Obamacare, stopping the NSA spying, of course, the Syria thing. And let's see what else for us to circle the Capitol and evict the squatters and traitors out of Washington, D.C. So those are a few of the things. What are the other things we need to be doing?
That's enough for right now because I've got a headache. I mean, this just keeps growing and growing and growing, and the problem is we don't have enough people that are willing to get in there and work.
I
understand what you're saying, and you know where I'm coming from. They want, like I said earlier, they just want to sit back on their butts and make sure that they've got their little money coming in every month. And they're real happy and don't rock their boat. They're going to be dead before long, and it's not going to matter to them. I am so sick of hearing that stuff, I could scream.
Exactly. And the
I'm not going to be around. So? What if Jefferson...
But you're partially responsible. I mean, what I would have to say to those people that say this is, but you're in part responsible for the mess we're in. Don't you have any responsibility for the crap you created?
Oh, they're only concerned about their next domino game or their next, you know, bonko game or, you know, whatever, but don't rock their boat.
And I'm like, and that is what's really sad. It's those that are a little bit older, the World War II generation, if you will, the ones that actually sacrificed that are still out there. Because, I mean, you see these town hall meetings. And, oh, there was a video out there. So YouTube, if you haven't seen it, go out there, YouTube, where this guy looks like he was a former military, maybe a Marine or whatever, who got into John McCain's face at a town hall meeting in Arizona. It was great. He really laid it on to him, telling him he was a traitor and he needed to be put out of office and everything else. But when you see these meetings, you see a lot of senior citizens, and I'm saying the more senior who actually know what it meant to sacrifice to save this country and to be free. But then you get the baby boomer group in there that is just, they've been spoiled rotten to every way. They have no clue what sacrifice means. They don't know what it's like to not have cable TV, most of them. So, and so to all of a sudden say, guess what? If you don't do something to protect your rights, you're not going to have any. They just, whatever, you know. Yeah,
what?
I don't care how much money, another entitlement. I'll get, you know, whatever.
It's like they call into these talk shows and they say, well, I don't understand what the problem is. Well, let's see if we can explain this to you in a language you might understand, which is very doubtful.
True. let's go back to like a fifth grade level and try to say this.
That way they might understand what the big problem is. I mean, when
really,
you take your kids to school one day and you dress them a certain way, and now you've spent years fighting, you know, the schools wanting to protect the younger children from some of this crap that the parents allow them to wear to school and try and teach them responsibility and everything. And then suddenly you go to school and they tell you you can't bring your kids in because they're not dressed in the right way and they don't know how to click their heels and say Heil Hitler correctly. Well, that's what we're getting down to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they click their heels and say Heil Hitler, I'll kiss Obama butt 15 times before. No, I don't go there, Doreen.
Oh, come on.
Well, you know what I'm saying. You know, he is the master. He is the king. And here we have the United Nations. Oh, by the way, you got to learn 14 new languages by the time you're 3 years, by the time you're 7 years old. Because now we are European. We are a one world nation. So everybody's got to be able to speak the language. Oh, and by the way, they're going to change your money. The American dollar is not going to be worth squat anymore because it's going to disappear.
Disappear, plus they've devalued it so much by just printing up money out of thin air.
True, but the dollar is going to disappear.
Isn't there something about all the gold being out of Fort Knox now that the gold's missing?
Yeah.
If it was ever there.
Well, it may have been there, but Obama and some of those ahead of him had made damn sure that it's walked off to other parts of the country.
In the world.
Well, yeah. I mean, the World Bank has it. And that's supposed to be okay, because that's the UN.
Yeah, but, exactly. That was exactly my point, the UN. Oh, my goodness. What do we do? What do we do to stop this mess?
We pray.
Pray
that's all we pray. We ask God's guidance. He's the one that's going to get us through this. He's the one that is going to lead us in the right direction to make the right decisions. Now, is he going to impose his needs and desires on those that we have elected into office? I don't think so. I think they're going to have hell to pay when they get up there to when the pearly gates open. I don't think they're going to be able to come in. I think they're going to have to spend their time down there with old George or
I definitely agree. I just keep saying, you know, dear Lord, just I have to believe that the evildoers will pay a price.
That's right, because he always has the last word, whether you like it or not.
I'm like, please tell me I do not have to look at the evildoers after I leave this planet, because I'm telling you, I don't want to see these evildoers.
I just hope that when my time comes, I haven't been so bad that I have to look Obama in the face, ever.
Well, but see, here's the thing. Now, I believe that, and same for you, you know, whether I did something wrong or not, it was never the intent. The intent is to, one, be loyal to this country and to the freedom of the individual and things like that, and to do what I can to help those around me. But there's not that same, if I was to go into public office and just like our good old bud here in Florida, I would never vote for amnesty. Oh, yeah, amnesty's wonderful. We've got to have it. You know, those are the people that are truly the evil because they lied, the hypocrisy. They violate this open office. They violated this trust that they made. You know, if you do that kind of stuff, there's only one way you should go. Now, if in my case, in our case, and I don't believe amnesty is the right answer. Now, if that's truly wrong, if the dear Lord thinks I'm wrong in saying that, I hope I'll be forgiven because I wasn't trying to do it out of harm for anyone. Do it to protect our country, my belief. So that's kind of the way, and I always kind of use that as the test. It's like, okay, so when I'm doing this, am I doing it for purely selfish reasons, and I don't care who gets harmed along the way, or am I doing it because I think it's the right thing to do and that others will benefit? You know, it's like, you know, that's my test. And I say, well, as long as I'm doing that, I can go the wrong way.
Well, I think, I don't know where I'm going to be Judgment Day. I just know wherever I am, there's going to be a lot of friends there, and I am not going to be lonesome. But I think I don't think you're one of them.
You don't think so?
Give you a pass. How about that?
I have no doubt you and I are going to see each other again. After we leave this planet, we'll see each other again.
Oh, the good Lord. I had to put those two together just to punish them. Oh, mercy.
Well, that could be it. I don't know. What was the other thing? Well, I'll tell you. I did not hear anything of what Obama said today. I mean, I haven't heard any news except for that little bit of Glenn Beck I listened to. That was about it. But anything else, any other news out there we need to be talking about for today? What's the other news that I've missed?
I haven't heard much news. I had a bad weekend, and I just, my head has not been in all this. I am so mad at it. I could actually be arrested if I said on the air the thoughts that have been going through my mind this weekend over Obama. I mean, it gets depressing. I'm sorry. You can be as good as you want to be, but, you know, a person can only take so much.
Well, that's it. And, I mean, everything to do, I guess, with me, and this, you got McCain and Lindsey Graham and these other idiots that are just totally disgusting in their own right. And then you've got this John Kerry who's so anti-war, but all of a sudden it's okay. And you got, you know, Obama here. He didn't care about the Americans he killed in Benghazi. Or he stood on the sidelines and watched them get killed. That was okay. But all of a sudden he's worried about this. I'm like, what is wrong with these people? And are we going to have the courage to do what we have to in Washington, D.C.? And then wasn't Boehner, Bonehead, one of the first ones to go over there and say we need to go to war? Wasn't he one of the first ones to support us?
Oh, but see what Obama is saying. We're not going to war.
Well, of course,
drop us bombs, and it's only going to last about 2 or 3 hours, and we're not really going to do anything to hurt anybody. We just want them to know we don't like their gas. And, oh, by the way, we want to let them know we don't believe that the radical Muslim has anything to do with this. So we're going to make it possible for Iran to bomb Egypt. That's what all
this
is coming.
Well, the other part is, like, all the other things that are going to be allowed to happen, and in the meantime, while they're trying to, if they are allowed to go forward with this, and all the other part, I guess, is Rand Paul is trying to get a bill passed where, as I understand it, I don't know what the number or anything like that is, that if, in fact, Congress says no, the president is totally prohibited from taking any action in Syria. And the other part that was interesting, and this was the guy who was covering for Glenn Beck last week on the 9 o'clock, it was really funny. I believe it was on Monday. Monday was Labor Day, right? Playing the thing that Nancy Pelosi and her 5-year-old grandchild. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, I heard that. You know, it's
easy to take. 5-year-old grandchild is so smart, and then she's such an idiot. But
she
was
really
war. She kept saying, we're not going to war. This is an action.
Well, see, but she that child was taught to say that before he said it. You don't believe that she put that microphone in front of that child's mouth and expected to be surprised by what came out of his mouth. They don't play that.
Well, the child was saying the right stuff, so I know she didn't control. The child was saying, "Why are we going to war?" And she said it wasn't war; it was a military action.
Well, but
the kid had no sense to know it was a war.
Didn't he also agree that it was okay after she explained that all these poor babies and children got killed?
Well, I think there was something. I'm sure down the line the kid tried to end up agreeing with Mimi or whatever that she called herself. But the other part was he asked, are there going to be Americans killed? And he said something about we shouldn't go to war. And, I mean, so he was saying this, but, of course, she was telling him it wasn't war. It was a military action, but it wasn't war. I mean, the whole thing was just so stupid. And these are the same people who would oppose if Obama had been saying the exact same thing and had been a Republican, they would have been opposing it. I mean, the hypocrisy and the stupidity of these people is so disgusting. It really is. I'm like, how do you know, you people are just a bunch of idiots. Of course, we're the real idiots because we keep letting you do it, you know?
Well, I see, but they're the chosen ones.
Yeah,
they're
the chosen ones.
They think they've got their butts protected by going along with this. When this all comes down the pike, they're going to be rich. Their families are going to be rich. They're never going to have to work again. They're not going to have to be employed in the White House anymore. And they think they're going to have it made. I wish I could be around to laugh at them.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, do you truly think you're going to be this high-fluting royalty you seem to think you are today? It's like you are truly shooting the Barney Fife, shooting yourself in the foot routine because you don't have a clue. What's going on.
And I wish I would be a fly on the... No, I want to be a mosquito. No, I want to be a yellow jacket. When she finds out... you know where I'm going with this one.
Oh,
so I could jump up and, you know, bite her in the butt.
Exactly. Exactly. But it was just kind of funny because really the way they were doing it on the Glenn Beck show was they were really saying the kid's got more sense than Grandma does. Mimi hasn't got a clue what she's talking about. Listen to the kid. The kid knows.
Exactly. But children usually do. They're usually a lot smarter than grown-ups are. Give them credit
they
for it.
They haven't corrupted as much. They
no.
Not, you know, kids obviously, it doesn't take long. It is amazing when you watch the child growing, how they learn who to go to, mom or dad for this or that, or me, ma, grandma, whatever. They definitely learn those tricks at a very early age, but there's still that point when this kind of stuff, they're so innocent, they have no clue. And I'm like, and I see these young kids around, I said, oh, if you only knew what you're getting into. And if your parents don't do something to protect you, you really should be pissed off at them. Because you're
exactly, you know,
watching out for you.
One day you're going to wake up and realize all this stuff that you thought was so important. It's not there. You know, they thought it would be there forever.
Yeah.
And their parents are just as bad. And they're going to wake up one day and it's not going to be there and they're going to wonder what happened.
That's exactly it. It is exactly the truth. And it's like, you know, it's to say the expression hell's going to freeze over, you people aren't, you're not going to be prepared. And you try to kind of warn people about this stuff, and we can see some are getting it, but you just know that too many of them still, they're still this naive attitude that nothing can happen. This can't happen to the U.S. It's like, yeah, 9/11 can't happen either, right? Fort Hood can't happen, right?
They said in my group, you know, well, maybe people don't want to hear about them. If it's something you think they don't want to hear about, maybe you should just not say anything. Okay. That's a brilliant way to think.
Oh, I don't want to, yeah. And truly, the saddest part is when you hear that, you know, that same person probably votes.
No, that's the person that doesn't vote.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I know people who say they don't want to talk about the bad stuff, but they'll still go out there and vote, but they'll vote for whoever's happy. Whoever's telling them whatever they want to hear, not the truth.
Exactly.
And it's like, wait a minute, at some point. And let's see, what was the other thing? I saw Rand Paul, I guess he was on Fox News, and he was talking, what was it, trying to remember what... Chris Wallace was asking him about, you know, they keep trying to corner him, and he said something about, well, is there at any point President Rand Paul would intervene on something like this? And you know, it's kind of a stupid thing to ask in a way, but he said, you know, if it's a threat to the U.S. and blah, 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 then we would be involved, but it's not for our place. And, you know, when people talk about this, like, when you've got a society, you know, I mean, here this is chemical warfare they're doing. There's something crazy when you say, well, wait a minute. They killed them. They killed 100 people with these chemical warfare, chemical weapons kind of thing. But they killed 100,000 over here with a bullet in the traditional military. That's okay, but this is bad. Would somebody explain to me this logic here?
The rebels over there were the real people fighting the war,
right,
had been asking for months for help. And we didn't find it necessary to give it to them. So where is the urgency now that you know, this guy has done exactly what they told us that he was going to do, and I remember that one. You know, they came on. They said, help us. He's got, you know, chemical warfare. Help us. He's going to slaughter us. And he did exactly what they said, but it didn't matter then. But it matters now in order to make Obama look good.
And to distract from Benghazi, to distract from everything else that's going on, to distract from amnesty, to distract from Obamacare, every other thing. And, you know, there's other societies out there, other cultures on this planet that more than that are dying every day because of disease and whatever else. What about them? You know,
well,
I mean,
they won't. It wouldn't make Obama look good if he, you know, this is all about.
Well, exactly.
How he is going to come off looking to the world. And I don't really believe that either. This is all about him being able to manage a way to get Iran to wage war on, not Egypt, on, help.
Israel.
And that's what this is about. Because they've already said, if you do this, we will wage war. Well,
and see, that's what I think this is all about. I think this is much more about that, and that's because he's anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-Jew. He's a Muslim Brotherhood. And what was this thing? Somebody, I didn't read it. I just saw some stuff coming through the email about some Egyptians have proof that he's a member of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah. Well, we already knew that, and you know how I knew that? You knew that, Sally. You've been banned.
Yeah.
You knew that because, and the way you knew it was because he's had the, not the high-ups of the, damn, granny, you're getting old, of the radical Muslims, the that we've been fighting, he's had them in the White House.
Exactly. They invite them in for dinner.
He's had them in for dinner. He's had conferences with them. If he's not tied to them, then what in the hell are they doing over there?
Exactly. So
you know, and like I said, you and I are just dumb white women. If we can figure this out, then where are these people that we are electing to office and that are supposed to have college educations? They're supposed to be highly educated people, and they're supposed to be looking out for the best of this country. Where are they? They hand their damn heads.
Explain to me, of course, right, as soon as you say anything to a public educator, or education, I should say, the dumbing down has taken over most of that. But what really amazes me is the likes of a John McCain, who was a POW, who was out there on the front lines. What happened to this guy? I mean, what happened to make him a liberal, progressive, treasonous traitor? What happened?
There has to be something in his background. Okay, Obama has gotten to umpteen judges. Otherwise, the man would not still be in office.
Okay.
There has got to be something in his background that they got a hold of, and they bought him off, like they have everybody else.
Yes. It's just, it seems like, you know, I guess. Where's Ross Perot these days? I always liked Ross Perot, but, and I don't think he'd put up with this crap. What does Ross Perot think these days? Where is he even at? I don't even know what's going on with him.
Who?
Ross Perot. You know, your good old bud there from Texas, from Plano, Texas.
I'm going to slap you. He wasn't born here in Texas, so he's not a good old boy from Texas.
Well, he made his mega bucks there in Plano,
well,
Texas.
Well, he made his mega bucks here. He came here with his oil, just like a lot of carpetbaggers came here with their carpet bags, but they don't make them Texans.
But he was very EDS. Remember, EDS.
He, you know, he started this thing about education. You know, he started this crap, and it's, and I guess he was part of the movement. That's all I can think of. He had
Ross
to be a part of
the
plan.
Education movement? Not Ross Perot.
The education movement. He was the one that started all this crap here in the state of Texas. We were going to improve our education system. We had to start changing the way we were educating kids because they weren't getting educated. Yeah.
I wouldn't have been surprised if he was out there doing something to get kids more technology, because he was in the technology business, EDS again, the electronic data systems, whatever it was. I can't remember the name of it, but EDS. So I can imagine that. But Ross Perot was big on, he was anti-NAFTA and all that stuff. I can't imagine him being pro-Common Core.
Well, that's the only thing I can figure, because this education program that he has put this state into is the worst pile of crap. Where it came from, unless I'm behind on this one, and I don't know that, you know, all this came in after Ross Perot, but I don't think so, because he's the one that came up with all these tests these kids have to take. It was his idea, you know, that you test them till they're sick in order to guarantee that everyone gets the same education. This all started after immigration. After, yep, that's what it was. Integration. Because the blacks were not getting the equivalent, the education that the whites were, and they were afraid that we would be discriminating against them. And so, therefore, we came up with this brilliant test that's why we have governmental control over our schools now. So they could come up with this test, and everybody would be studying the same thing. So everybody ought to be able to test, to pass it with flying colors. That's where all this came from.
I've never heard anything to do with Ross Perot and education before. So this is the very first time I've
Well, I remember listening to it, and I remember thinking the man was out of his mind at the time. But that was the thing he was big on. Now, it may be when he was running for governor here in the state of Texas. I don't remember. But I know Ross Perot was the one behind the change in education.
Well, and I mean, to me, I don't change in education by itself isn't a problem. I don't know anybody who's ever run for public office who hasn't said something about education. But when it comes to him promoting something like Common Core, that seems hard to believe. But then, I mean, maybe he does. I don't know.
I don't think,
I
I'm not saying that he supports Common Core. I don't know that. I'm just saying, I know that he is the person who instigated the change in education in the state of Texas. That I know.
Well, and again, I'm not, I'm just saying somebody does something with education doesn't to me mean something bad. They could actually help educate the kids better, you know, because of how some kids have been getting out, you know, dumbing down or whatever you want to call it.
Well,
can't read and write. I mean, it's been years. It isn't something just recently started where kids graduate not know how to read and write. That was happening. So I don't know. I'd have to go up there and see more about what he was promoting in education and if he was promoting more of the technology. I just know when I think of Ross Perot, it was the biggest thing with NAFTA. And how he said NAFTA was the worst thing for this economy. He used to have a lot of his numbers up there because of him being a very successful businessman, and I really don't remember much about him in education. So I'm now curious. I'm going to have to go do some looking research on that.
Well, if you'll study on it, you'll find that he was the one that was promoting this big change in education, which, you know, yes, the blacks did not have it right when it came to education because, no, they weren't all being educated the same. They didn't have the same, educational programs available to them or the same schools, the money for the schools, you know, that a lot of the white kids had. But the fact that the parents didn't care whether the kids were educated, and I'm going to put it right there because that's where it's got to fall, that was not white men's fault for that. It was because they were too busy feeling sorry for themselves, and because there's too many giveaway programs out there, they didn't want to have to worry about getting an education.
Well, yeah, that and trying to think. In fact, I was doing a search here while we're talking. We're down to 5 minutes, so we don't have much more time. But teachers are poorly paid, more special compensation. In 1984, the Texas education establishment was ruled by what called the Iron Triangle. It consisted of a House and Senate Legislative Committee, Education Bureaucracy, the Texas Education Agency, the union representative teachers and coaches. The governor asked Perot to serve as a chairman on the Select Committee of Education, Public Education, SCOPE. The governor had no idea the so-called camel's nose he let under the tent would raise such a storm. Using his own money, Perot brought in experts on education, world-class people, he says. I wanted to know where we were headed. Perot's specialists found that teachers were poorly paid and needed a lot more special compensation. And then the next thing it says here, no high school football unless passing grades. Well, you know, to me, I never had a problem with it. I don't think if you kids are spending too much on the football thing, I always agree with that. Perot attacked the football establishment. He denounced the presence of football coaches at the top level of academic management. It was the football comments that got the most ink, Perot told Texas Business. But we were also taking a hard look at such cost-efficient programs as vocational and agricultural education. Extracurricular activities are about the only place in the public school system where we demand excellence from our children. I thought I was living pretty well until I found out that high school football players have towel warmers. Well, you know, and this is some of this. I'll continue reading this on after. But that's, to be honest, I don't really disagree with too much with what he said there. I don't, when it comes to the teacher compensation, that's another question, how he came up with that one. But to say that football players are recognized in the school and not the kids who actually use their brain, I think that is a problem.
That's true. And I agree with that. And I believe the football players, and because this is the state of Texas, they love their football. And I believe that teachers do need better pay. But we don't need a teachers union.
No.
Because the teachers union, and that's what came from Ross Perot, the teachers union is letting them having to, the schools are having to let teachers teach who are not qualified to teach because they belong to the union. They can't get rid of them because they belong to the union.
Well, we'll have to continue this discussion, but that's interesting. I really, and I'm, like I say, I'm looking a little bit of stuff out here about Mr. Perot and the education, and that part, so far I don't come different too much on what he's saying, but I'll have to take a closer look. But we are down to 1 minute as we speak. So what would you like to wrap it up with?
My dog just said mama.
Take a bite out of mama.
From the computer. He did. He said mama.
Oh, that's okay. I thought you said mama.
Bless America.
Yes.
God, please show us where and how we are going to fix this huge problem. and protect those who are marching in Washington in order to try and help this country, because I believe they're going to be in trouble when they do it.
Amen. Very good. I totally agree with that. Yes, please. Please, God bless America. Please be Americans. Be united as one. And please be safe on 9/11. On that note, thank you for tuning in, everyone. And we will talk to you tomorrow night. Have a good evening. Good night.